Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. We meditate today on our Gospel reading from John chapter 17. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. One of my early memories of my mum is of her praying with me at my bedside. She would also read to us. She would also sing to us. One of my favourite songs was Hush, Little Baby, Don't You Cry. It was very appropriate for me because I was a very unsettled child. Hard to believe, isn't it? But I was. I remember mum praying. I remember mum reading. I remember her singing. And I remember my constant request as she was leaving the room for an encore. Come on, mum, one last prayer, one last song, one last story. Don't leave me, mum. And she would often come back, not every time, but often she would come back. Okay, just one more, then off to sleep. Abraham Lincoln once said, I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. Many of us, though of course not all of us, but many of us were privileged to have a mum who prayed with us and for us, and whose prayers follow us to this day, probably far more than what we realize. Today, all of us are privileged to listen in as Jesus himself prays with us and for us. John 17 is often described as the high priestly prayer, Jesus acting as our high priest, our intercessor, our go-between between God and us. So what is it that Jesus prays for? What is it that he asks for? What is it that he wants for us as his people? Well, the three things I'd like to draw out, or the three headings for today that we'll focus on, which I think kind of encapsulate the various things he prays for, are about receiving his word, resisting the world, or what we sometimes call the way of the world, and being renewed for his service in the world. So receiving his word, resisting the world, and being renewed for his service in the world. First, he wants us to receive his word. And he's pleased when we do. His prayer goes like this. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours and you gave them to me. They have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. The lengthy lesson that the disciples have been learning in their time with Jesus and that they're just starting to get their heads around, Jesus thinks the penny's just starting to drop for them, is that he has come from God. And everything God is, he is, and everything he is, God is, and everything he says, God says, and everything he does, God does. That's what they're just starting to get their heads around, what they're just starting to come to terms with. It shouldn't surprise us that it takes them a long time to get there. You know what the disciples are like in the New Testament? They're like us. They're up and down, they're back and forth, they're in and out, they're hot and cold, they're bold one moment and they're cowards the next. They're good and they're not so good. Right? This is the life of a disciple. New Testament, and for us, this is what our lives are like. But today, it's almost as though Jesus is rejoicing over his disciples. Like he's really thanking God for them. He's really proud of them. Why? He says, I gave them your words and they have accepted them or received them and known with certainty that I came from you and they believed that you sent me. Jesus is thankful for them simply, it would seem, because they have received him. They've welcomed him. They've listened to him. And they've come to believe that in listening to him, they've been listening to God. This faith that has been developing in them, this really small, simple, mustard seed size faith, this just forming kind of, you know, you almost need a magnifying glass to see it, faith that's starting in their hearts, this just new, this kind of embryonic faith, right, which is just there in their lives, makes Jesus over the moon. So happy about it. So glad to see it there at work in their lives. The disciples have been gradually coming to the point of realizing that Jesus is not just some great teacher. He's not some spiritual guru. He's not just some wise leader, not some motivational speaker, not just some impressive guy. He is the Son of God. The Son of God. That is what they're coming to realize. And that is what Jesus rejoices over the fact that they are realizing. One commentator translates the petition like this: their explanation of me has become you. Their explanation of me has become you. See, that's what we realize as we receive Jesus' word, as we get to know who Jesus is as God's Son. We get to know that the only explanation for him is that he is who he says he is. He is the Son of God. Their explanation of me has become you. That's just the tip of the iceberg when we start receiving and hearing and listening and growing in the Word of God. But it's an important tip of an important iceberg. Their explanation of me has become you. They have heard me speaking. They have listened to me, and therefore they have been listening to the very voice of God. If you have children who listen to you, even just occasionally, even just a little bit, that's something to be grateful for. If you have children who listen to God, even just occasionally, even just a little bit, that's something to be very, very, very grateful for. And if you don't, keep praying for them that they would. I know many of you do that. Keep praying for them. And even more than that, remember that when you forget to pray for them, when you tire of praying for them, when you throw your hands up in the air and think, what is the point of praying for them? That Jesus keeps on praying for them. That he doesn't stop. He doesn't tire. He doesn't throw his hands up in the air. He keeps praying for his people. That all might receive his word and accept him as the Son of God. That's the first point. Second one is that we learn as we hear that word and receive that word, we learn what our relationship is to the world in which we live. And we learn to resist that world in the right way and in the right circumstances. He says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. I've given them your word, right? They have received your word from you, from me, and what's happened as a result? The world has hated them. It's fairly strong language, isn't it? Right? The world doesn't want to know them, doesn't want to hear from them. Jesus says, as Christian people, firstly, you need to know this and expect this, but secondly, you need to realize, or is that thirdly? You need to realize that your roots are not in this world, right? You're not grounded here. This is not your foundation. Your roots are in Christ, not the culture, or in the Word, not the world, or in prayer, not in popular opinion or what people think of you. Right? Where are your roots? Where are you grounded? It says for you Christians, you are not grounded in this world. And that's important. That has repercussions, important repercussions. In fact, a lot of what Jesus goes on to pray for kind of hinges on this point, because the world is a place of division, and people are divided in the world, very divided on lots of different things. But Jesus says, I pray that they might be one, that they might experience harmony among themselves, right? That they might come together, think together, believe together. The world is a place of fear for a lot of people, right? People are scared in the world about all sorts of things. Jesus says, I pray that they may be protected. The world is a place of despair for many people, right? And there's lots of reasons for that. Jesus says, I pray that they might have joy, my joy living in them. You see how a lot of what we experience in the world is very counter to what Christ actually wants for us. And so he says, don't be in it, but not of it. Right, you have to live there, but don't be grounded there. Don't have your roots down there. Because then division, despair, fear, this is the path. This is the way of this world. He says, I want more for you. I want something better for you. I want joy. I want unity. I want protection. I want peace. I want contentment. Right? This is what Christ prays for his people. This is what he desperately wants for us. When he prays for our protection, notice it's not protection from the world. Jesus knows who the real enemy out there is. It's not the world. It's not the people around us. He says, I pray that you would protect them from the evil one. Right? He knows the real battle going on out there. And he prays that we would be protected, kept safe from the real enemy that prowls around this earth. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Right? Jesus knows that we can't run away from this world as hard as we might try, and that we can't bury our heads in the sand, and that we can't go and lock ourselves in our room and think, oh, now I'm okay. Right? He says, no, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world. I'm not praying that you separate them from it, but I'm praying for their protection in it. Right? That when they live in this world, you would look after them, you would keep them, you would help them. When the world divides us, when the world makes us despair, when the world makes us fearful, when things in the world look bleak, or when we think about ourselves and we look inside ourselves and maybe what we find there looks bleak, and when we're led to the point of asking, you know, is this really it, what we see? Is this it, what we feel? Is this all there is? Jesus comes and he says, no, it's not. It's not all there is. Right? There is more. I want more for you. And there is more. What you sense is it's just a part of it. Right? What you sense won't help you make sense of everything. You need me, my word to you. Okay? So Jesus calls us to not be too rooted and grounded in the way of this world, but to be rooted and grounded in him. He says there is a joy beyond what you know. The joy of Christ living in you. He says there is a unity beyond what you experience in this world. Unity with God and the Son. There is a protection beyond what you can find in your family or community. It's a protection that only God can give. This is what Jesus prays for his people. You know, there is something out there that can help us to critique the world in which we live and not just go along with it. And there is something out there that can give us a strength to resist the world in which we live when we need to and not just go along with it. And the purpose of this is so that we may better serve it, so that we may be more useful in it, so that we may discover God's purpose for us in this place, not just to separate ourselves out from it. Powerful, peaceful resistance is the key, and the willingness not to always follow the crowd. Now, our mothers tried to teach us this, didn't they? Well, mine did, okay? And perhaps yours did too. And it was the first time you ever used as an excuse somebody else's bad behavior for your own, all right? Or someone else's, the way they were talking or thinking or acting as an excuse for how you were thinking or talking or acting. It went like this. If little Jimmy jumped off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge? No, come on, Mum. Jimmy's a better swimmer than I am. Some smart response. But you get the point, right? Just because they do it doesn't mean it's okay for you. Most of our mums tried to teach us this. It's the same lesson, right? The way of the world, following the crowd. Most of the time they don't know where they're going, right? It's not a way. It's not a good way for you. It's not a good way to follow. Jesus wants more for his people. He prays, Lord, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Which means, yeah, draw them out, right? Make them holy, make them special, set them apart. But set them apart so they can go back into that world and live and serve you as best they can. Jesus prays that we're renewed for his service. He says, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. God calls us to be different from the world in which we live so that we might, by his grace, be a powerful force for good within it. God loves this world, or he loves the people of this world at least, right? He has a heart for them. He wants them, and he wants good things for them, and he calls us to be his avenue through which those good things come. One commentator puts it like this. He says, we are sent into the world whose roots perhaps we are to abhor, but whose souls and whose persons we are to adore. Whose souls and whose persons we are to adore. You know, remember Jesus and how invested he was in the people of this world, that he would come to die for them, to save them. You remember the way Jesus acted when he was walking this earth, how invested he was in the people of this world, how much time he spent with people no one else would spend time with, how invested he was in the people of this world, so much so that people accused him of being just as bad as they were, right? Look at this guy, they said he's a glutton, he's a drunkard, he's a friend of tax collectors and sinners. That was their impression of him, because he was so invested in those type of people and spent so much time with them that they began just to lump him in with them. But that's how invested Christ was. That his reputation didn't matter to him, right? He was willing to get his hands dirty for the sake of the world's people. This same commentator goes on to say, look, the world is our goal, not our source. It is our place of work, not our measure of worth. It is our mission, not our Messiah. Our place of work, not our measure of worth. Right? Our mission, not our Messiah. We don't look to it for our purpose. We don't look to it to guide us. We don't look to it to fulfill us. We look to him for that. And he says, here it is, now get out there and use what I have given you for the sake of this world. It is our mission, not our Messiah. Right? It is our place of work, yes, not our measure of worth. We need to be really clear on what the world is and isn't to us. God calls us to serve this world. And for us as individuals, he doesn't call us to serve the whole world. That's a big ask, right? But he gives us a little world in which to serve. Each of you have a little world in which to serve, right? A few people around you, just a few family members or a few friends or a few colleagues. There's just a few who you're really close with. And God says, that's who I'm calling you to serve, right? You don't have to do the whole lot. Okay, just take the ones I have given you and help them experience joy and unity and love and grace and mercy and peace and all these gifts I want for you. Carry them to those people whom I have given you to serve. That's where we start, because that's where Jesus started. Right? I don't pray for the whole world, he says, not at this point. I pray for those you have given me. I pray for these you have put right in front of me. That's where he starts. That's where his service begins. Not all of our mothers prayed for us, right? You know that. Some of them didn't know how. Some of their mothers never prayed for them. And you know that when we come to Mother's Day, yeah, it's a wonderful day for a lot of people, and it's a really hard day for a lot of people as well. Mother's Day brings up all sorts of emotions, the past, troubles, heartaches for people. If you don't know that, you should. And talk to people, because you'll realize that it does, that these happy times are also sad times. That's life in the world, right? That's what we experience. But the good news we have to offer as Christians is that that's not all there is. We have a Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who prays for his people, who cares enough about his people that when they stop praying, or they don't know how to pray, or they don't know what to pray, he keeps praying for their unity, for their joy, for their protection, for all the things he knows we need. Jesus prays for his world and his people. He has come from the Father full of grace and truth to speak God's word to us and to reveal God's heart to us, that we would receive his word, resist the world, and be renewed for his service. Let's pray that that would be the case. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son to us, who prays with us and for us. And when we tire of praying, or we don't know what to pray for, and we ask that you renew us and help us in that, but also that you remind us that he keeps praying for us, that he keeps having a heart for us, he keeps loving us and being gracious towards us. Lord, help us to go out into our world with that same grace you have first given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.